This week, we are talking about the importance of the social layer of Bitcoin with the founder of the Ottawa Bitcoin Meetup, Corey Timmins. There is lots of places to study and learn about Bitcoin online, but no substitute for meeting real Bitcoiners in person as you continue down your journey of Bitcoin education. I'm Scott Dietles. I'm the CEO and founder of Block Rewards. Part of our mission in bringing Bitcoin to the workplace is helping people understand how we'll help them. So if you're interested to learn something about what happens when a bunch of magic internet money fanatics get together, stick around. All right, welcome to another episode of the Block Reward Podcast. This episode has been a long time in the making. We are joined by special guest this week, host of the Ottawa Bitcoin Meetup, Canadian Bitcoiner Corey Timmins. Corey, welcome to the Block Reward.
Nice to talk to you again, Scott.
Right on. So, Corey, we're going to be talking today about the importance of the social layer of Bitcoin. Maybe before we do that, you and I are sort of started our Bitcoin journeys around the same time. Maybe we'll just start with your own story of how you got involved with Bitcoin.
Yeah, right around exactly the same time. And that's one of the reasons why I really resonated with your podcast when it came out. And like, I can honestly say I've listened to every single episode. Like, I'm now completely caught up. I'm like 55 episodes, 56 episodes, whatever it is. I've literally listened to every single one. Yeah, around the same time frame as you, I've heard your story a couple of times on the shows. During the pandemic, everything's locked down. You're starting to ask yourself some questions like, what's going to happen going forward with inflation? So you just start reading, you start learning, and you just start listening to things. And, you know, this is around 2020, beginning of 2021, around that time, just started learning about Bitcoin. It didn't initially click in totally for me. It was just, this is a gold alternative. This is something like gold. And much like you, when I read Jeff Booth's book, that really kind of was the lightning moment. I'm like, oh my God, this technology thing, it's not just a store of value thing, it's a technology thing. And that really kind of put all the pieces together. But back then, we were still locked down, you know, and I live in the city here, I live in Ottawa, and everything was locked down, everybody's working from home. It was really difficult to meet people in person to kind of talk about about Bitcoin. And, you know, things started to slowly open up here and there. And I got the opportunity to go to Montreal to a Bitcoin meetup in Montreal, and then to another one in Waterloo. And then, you know, a Canadian Bitcoiner came into town and he just asked people to kind of come out for a drink. And I went, and there was a bunch of people there. And since then, I've really took it upon myself to kind of organize meetups here in the city, because I just really believe that you need a physical touch point for people to kind of make this thing make sense, somewhere to ask questions and to kind of be around fellow Bitcoiners.
Yeah, it's certainly like a leap in certainty for, you know, I think one of the weirdest things about money is that we've all been convinced that money is something that has a picture of somebody familiar on it. And these are part of how the system of trust has been built. Like, this is what we're used to. And so faceless money has all kinds of different obstacles for people trying to think about how to put their trust of their like financial safety in it. I want to come back to that just, you know, maybe before we go too far there, you know, what you said about things just not being so obvious. You know, I think this is also really true, and it was equally true for me, the kind of, you know, narratives of is it digital gold? What's it for? It takes a really long time to understand all the different aspects of Bitcoin and even like, you know, so that was whenever you started paying attention in 2020, the price is kind of sub 10,000 US. It goes all the way up to almost 70, crashes all the way back down to 16. It's, you know, since then, kind of now we just we're recording in November 1st, and we're flirting with new all-time highs every day. And it's still really not obvious, even for a lot of people who own some Bitcoin or spend a lot of time studying it. So you have a background in economics, and how do you think of Bitcoin today with having now spent sort of 4 years studying it?
I mean, every day you learn more, right? And what I've really been surprised with is how I'm learning about things that I never thought were related to money. You know, and shout out to this book that I read that I picked up in Montreal at a conference. Some guy with a beard wrote this book about the kind of like philosophy and like Eastern philosophy and how that related to Bitcoin. I don't quite remember what his name was, but it was a pretty cool book. No, things like that. You're learning about health and learning about history and learning about philosophy and how all this does have a root in money and truth. And that's the wildest thing. Like, it's true, I do have an education in economics and a little bit of a professional background in finance as well. The investment side of Bitcoin, the number go up side, that wasn't really that difficult for me to grasp onto. Like, I could get that pretty easily. And to be honest, I don't spend a ton of time on that side because I just find that the most boring part of Bitcoin. I find the best part of Bitcoin are about the things about myself, like the value of truth and the importance of these things. And it's great. Like, it's just been almost at 4 years now. So I'm almost done like one complete cycle. And yeah, every day it's just a different thing that I'm learning.
Yeah. It really, money is the thing that, permeates almost every aspect of daily life. And for me too. And this is part of the reason I think to get to the social stuff and why I enjoy meeting other people who are interested in Bitcoin at this stage, because, me too, I'm still learning stuff all the time, but I've got my knowledge base to a level where it's less about the core foundational stuff and more about, collecting other interesting ideas of what other people are thinking about who are spending their same time thinking about this stuff. And yeah, I mean, for me, I love this idea that money, broken money is just, it's such a distraction. It forces people to have less and less time to think about things that are really, more in line with their interests. It makes everyone have to have a side gig being a hedge fund manager. You can't just earn money. You have to grow your money and you have to work more and more all the time. These are problems that really prevent, sort of like peace of mind, and which ironically is what everyone who's trying to grow their money is really trying to accomplish. And yeah, it's such an interesting thing. I feel like this is something that Bitcoiners or people who have really understood Bitcoin do have in common, is if you have figured out sort of the cheat code around how to protect your money, the money you already have, then you do have some time to sort of stop and smell the roses and think about stuff like this and hear ideas about what other people are thinking about.
And it's just so important to be around other people that are on that same journey. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. And we're lucky that we have the internet now in a way. We can have these types of conversations, or you can go on a Twitter space or download a podcast or watch a YouTube video. But we're lucky for that, and it's great. But we need in-person conversations, and we need to meet in the real world in meet space and to kind of share these things with each other and just build that sense of community and support. And that's where I'm trying to contribute my little piece of this thing. I'm not writing a book, I'm not starting a business, at least not yet, but I do see the importance of having Bitcoin meetups in every single city. We need them everywhere so that we can kind of meet people where they are. And people are, they stumble upon the Block Rewards podcast and they listen to an episode and now they want to go and meet people in real life. And it would be good if we had a place where they could go in every single city. So that's what I've kind of taken upon myself to do it here in Ottawa.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, I don't know what the stats that came out a couple of years ago in Canada at one point, something allegedly between 10 and 14% of Canadians own some Bitcoin. So that's like 1 in 7 people. And there are Bitcoin meetups in most of the big cities now, but they're not huge. Cities like Edmonton and Calgary, we're not talking about hundreds of people. It's a handful of people who are interested to get together, but, yeah, it's a funny thing. And so I think, yeah, this is a really great topic. I'll say for myself, my first Bitcoin conference that I attended was the Bitcoin Rodeo in Calgary in the summer of 2023. So I'd already been a couple of years, like really head down and in this stuff all the time, but hadn't been to an event yet. And yeah, that was really something that blew my mind. I think for anyone who's listening to the show, you don't have to be a hardcore Bitcoiner to check out one of these, to find a conference local in your area too, because conferences are another thing that are popping up more and more all the time. There was just one in Victoria, Canadian Bitcoin Conference, I don't think has been announced for 2025 yet, but there are lots of events across the US and Europe and a few in Australia.
But I do see how a conference could be intimidating for someone. You just listen to a couple of podcasts, you read a couple of newspaper articles, or, you know, watch a YouTube video, and then all of a sudden you're going to sign up for a conference with a bunch of these like crazy internet people. Like, that's why I think the meetups are just so good. Like, you it's not a huge commitment. You just kind of show up and have a drink, eat a piece of pizza, and just ask questions and just be around people that maybe have just been in the space a little bit longer than you. I just think they're super important.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the Ottawa meetup that you run. What is your average night of the Ottawa Bitcoin meetup look like?
Well, we started off we just threw it out there on meetup.com and on Twitter, and just to see who would show up. And we had about like 30 people show up for the first one. And for the first one, I just wanted to get a gauge of, you know, who are you? Like, why are you here? So I kind of tried to get a little bit of input from everybody, a little piece of paper to say like, oh, what are you looking for with these types of meetups? And I really found that there were two distinct type of people. There were people that were curious about Bitcoin and just wanted to learn. And then there were people that had been in the space for a little while and were wanting to just hang out with other Bitcoiners and talk about what's going on in the Bitcoin world. So taking that feedback, I created two monthly meetups. So one devoted for education for newcomers and kind of targeted that way. Like I advertised saying, you know, everybody's welcome. Please come and ask questions. Bring your friends, bring your dog. And then I do a one per month that, again, it's more for the guys that have been in the space a little while, the guys who have home miners, and we want to show each other our pictures of how we're putting our Bitcoin miners to heat our houses, or, you know, what conferences we're going to, what big podcasts we're listening to. Maybe we do book exchanges at some of these events too. This summer, I started doing a Bitcoin walk. Have you seen that? There's a guy in Scotland. We started doing these Saturday walks, and I just reached out to him and I said, yeah, I'm interested in trying this in my city as well. So we did four or five of those this summer of, you know, Saturday morning, just meeting up people by the Ottawa Canal here and just going for a little walk. The amount of people that show up to these things kind of vary. It's during the winter, like I was lucky to get four or five people. But we've had some where we've had, you know, 30 people show up. So it's good.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I love to joke about this, but it's half true. You get obsessed with Bitcoin. You start talking about it involuntarily. It starts coming up in your, you know, like regular social events. And part of what I enjoy about it is it's just cool to go somewhere where actually it's not just allowed, but this is kind of what people are talking about. And, you know, in our local meetup in Kelowna where I live, it's totally that. It's just, you know, what's a good podcast somebody listened to? What are some ideas people are interested in right now? Other people who are just as thinking about this stuff in the same way and, or not, you know, can totally go elsewhere. You know, I think that this is something you find as people get more and more into Bitcoin, you find that, you know, there's something in common there between everybody. And I was, last fall, I was in Australia and, traveling and had the Orange Pill app, which is kind of like, I don't know, Tinder for Bitcoiners. A non-romantic meetup app. And I got this ping, a private message. Somebody had caught that I was in Sydney, and the Sydney Bitcoin meetup was happening that night. And so it happened that I was, you know, kind of in the area, actually just sort of staying down the street, and rolled up and a bunch of Australian Bitcoiners. And it was a blast. It was exactly like the meetups that I've been to in Canada, just like with a little bit more swearing. And, you know, the same sort of ideas, same things being talked about. It's so cool to see that, like, this is actually what is happening all over the world.
And there's just such energy at these events, right? These little events, you know, and I'm lucky enough now that I've been to a few meetups in a few different cities, and each one of them have their own vibe. Like, you go to a Montreal meetup, it's all the big bull Bitcoin guys, the panties for Bitcoin guys. And it's like a very interesting thing. It's just so different than the ones in Toronto or in Waterloo. And I'm sure Calgary, I haven't been to the Calgary one yet, but I can imagine what the Calgary one is like. Every single one is just, it encompasses a little bit of the culture of the city. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. And big shout out to the Vancouver Bitcoin meetup. I haven't been to one. I have been to Vancouver Bitcoin events, but not to the meetup itself. But I'm sure that's The biggest one happening in Canada right now typically has a couple hundred people from what I hear.
How often do they meet in Vancouver?
That's a good question. I think monthly.
Because the ones in Montreal are legit. They're filling up rooms in Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. You know, I think in general, in Canada at least, Canada punches above its weight class for Bitcoin. The number of Bitcoiners who are actively sort of like participating is high for how big of a country we are. It's like Hollywood actors, I guess, disproportionate number, same deal.
Yeah, I often wonder why that is. Like, is it the proof of work thing that like there's a culture here in Canada that winter is difficult and there's a proof of work mentality? And what do you think? Why is it that we punch above our weight?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, like, and I can't really speak to what was happening, you know, prior to 2020, and we did have already like, you know, BTC sessions and, you know, Francis and like us really solid early Bitcoin movement. But I think like, you know, in my opinion, we went full totalitarianism and that really just woke a lot of people up. And even if people who weren't necessarily worried about the strategy of the Canadian government during that time, one thing that I think it did do was give people an enormous amount of free time. As everybody was sort of like stuck at home for months, a lot of people just sort of went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole at that time, as it was coincidentally or, you know, timely that the last bull run sort of happened parallel to what was going on there. So, yeah, I actually last week, the last episode was with BJ Dichter. And so we were just talking about, you know, and then ultimately culminating in the 2020 protests, where Bitcoin, I think really for people who were paying attention to what was going on there in Canada and around the world, created a new reason for studying Bitcoin, for learning about like what is a potential use case for having uncensorable money somewhere where you might have never thought you would need it, like Canada. And this is kind of one of those things, I think, where, you know, yeah, most people sort of get into Bitcoin for the number go up technology. They understand on some level that it is an asset that is appreciating in dollar terms or whatever your currency is faster than other assets. And that is a great place to start. That is true. But then it's, you know, it's the deeper layers inside the onion that really keep people coming back for more. Yeah, BJ was also talking about, you know, so he sort of said, I think his story was 2016, 2017, and he was originally interested in the tech, which is, I think, true for early Bitcoiners. You had to be kind of like a video gamer to get into mining early, or you just had to be somebody who was interested in early tech adoption. And one of the things he said that stuck out for me that relates to this conversation is that in sort of 2015, 2016, 2017, there just wasn't a lot, you know, there wasn't nearly the number of podcasts that there are now. There wasn't the meetups happening. There wasn't the same level of like just accessibility to connect to real people and get good information about this stuff. So I do think we're at a really cool time where on this next probably 3 or 4 years, the meetups, the number of meetups and the size of those meetups, I think is going to really take another sort of exponential growth leap. And it's going to be exciting to see.
Yeah. Shout out to BJ. He's been to one of our meetups. Like we hold every special event meetups every once in a while where somebody's in town, we'll advertise it. And BJ did one when his book came out. So he came by to Ottawa and he talked about his book. Yeah, the meetups, I think, are growing. And I think it's important to just do different types of meetups as well. What we've started here, we had one of them this week. Our first one this week was a BitDevs meetup. So it was for people that are working in the space, who are developing, who are, you know, doing real actual development. We just happened to have a guy in town here who is working on Lightning and eCash. So he came and presented his work and it was a really good turnout. So we're going to keep doing those regularly as well. But my dream would be like have a health related Bitcoin meetup, and then have like maybe an investing related Bitcoin meetup and a tech related Bitcoin meetup. And if we had them all over the place all the time, then anybody who's coming into this thing from whatever side will have somewhere to go to discuss with people who are coming at it from a similar side. And that would be just amazing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and it's a great place for people to like see some of the technology in action. Like even just, we always have somebody new every time we meet. So the Kelowna Bitcoin meetup happens monthly. First Tuesday of every month, different location. And a little plug for our local meet there. You can find it on Twitter, Kelowna BTC Meet. Yeah, so usually you'll see somebody passing lightning sats back and forth, or you know, having a BitAxe miner or something. You know, it's a cool opportunity to to just talk to people who are doing this stuff. And I think that this is it's another one of the big obstacles of normalizing interacting with this monetary technology, is just seeing that there are lots of regular people. And this is the funny thing about Bitcoin, is like, there are so many kind of like closet Bitcoiners out there that that don't come to the meets, but you get talking to people, and a lot of people do, you know, there are a lot of people out there.
And it's kind of like a field of dreams, you know, if you build it, they will come type of thing. So you got to get out there and you got to start it. Somebody's got to start it. And then it doesn't have to be super formal or super fancy. Just a couple of guys meet up at a bar and just throw it out on Twitter that you're meeting, and you might get people to show up. And do you guys in Kelowna, do you have like a meetup.com page or like the Orange Pill app? Do you guys do all that stuff?
We do have the Orange Pill app. I don't think we have a meetup.com. We might. I don't know. I've stepped back from the organizing of the events, and now I just get to show up.
I think for us, I probably like 50 to 75% of the new people that come up to our meetups are from meetup.com. And they're literally just people that are just curious and are just showing up. About a year ago, these two people came in. They were on a first date or a second date. It was, and that's what they purposely went on meetup.com, and they just picked a topic, and it just happened to be Bitcoin, and they kind of showed up together on a first or second date. I think that's like so cool. Like it's cool that we get these people, and it's important for us as meetup participants to kind of give these people a positive touch point, because it can get, you know, we've been on Bitcoin Twitter. It can get a little bit weird sometimes, people talking about certain things or super political things or super, you know, talking about cast iron pans or whatever. It can sound weird to somebody who's brand new. But if they're coming in person and they, like you said, that they see that these Bitcoiners are just real people and they're welcoming people, new people in with a smile, and they're answering questions, I think it just does such a good thing for the broader adoption. Now these people are going to go back home. And when they see Bitcoin on TV, if somebody's saying something negative about it, they're going to think back to, oh yeah, I was at that meetup a couple of months ago, and the guys there were super nice to me and they were answering questions. This guy on TV is telling me that it's used for bad things on the internet. It wouldn't add up. So I think it's we all have a role to play, and not all of us can write books and host podcasts. Some of us can just start a local meetup.
Yeah, I mean, and not everybody needs to. Not everybody needs to. Like, I don't know how many books and podcasts we need. I actually do think that the meetup thing is huge, because trying to connect to community is just in general something that we can use more of all the time, regardless of where people are. And it's a light touch way to get involved and help attract other people. Because Bitcoin does kind of have an interesting like PR problem, you know, an opportunity and a challenge because of this nature that it is, you know, that there is no Bitcoin corporation that has a marketing department or a head of PR. And for that reason, it's this is where, you know, I find in my own life, continually new people are looking for where to start. And so finding people in your local area is a great place to sort of kickstart that. If you're listening and you haven't been to a meetup and there's one in your area, highly recommend you get out to your next event that you can.
Yeah, and just ask questions. You know, just go there and just if you're new to the space, feel free to just ask any stupid question you can that you can think of to the people that are the regulars. And we love to help. Like I think that's so incredibly important, is to meet people where they are. And I think the meetups are the tip of the spear. The podcasts are great. The conferences are great. All these things are awesome. They're awesome. The books are great. But just the people who are just going somewhere on a Thursday night and just pop it in, it's the tip of the spear.
Maybe to just switch gears a little bit, Corey, in addition to being a fan of our show, you are one of the most prolific listeners of Bitcoin podcasts that I'm aware of. I'm actually continually astounded by your ability to consume podcasts. And maybe I'd love to just take an opportunity to plug some other really good shows. There are tons of people on who are doing awesome stuff out there. What are some of your favorite other Bitcoin pods to listen to?
First of all, shout out to Oscar Mary and the entire team at Fountain. So if you're listening to this on any app other than Fountain, I would recommend go in and give Fountain a try. It's a Bitcoin-enabled podcasting app. It's fantastic. So shout out to Fountain.
Yeah, so on Fountain, you can actually tip the podcast creators in Bitcoin.
Yeah, and you get paid Bitcoin a little bit to listen. So it's a good way to start with your first Lightning wallet. The Fountain app actually is a Lightning wallet. So if you're new to Bitcoin and you're just listening to, it's your first Bitcoin podcast that you're listening to, give Fountain a try. Yeah, Scott, I listen to a lot of Bitcoin podcasts. Like I happen to have a job where I can just kind of put my headphones in and just do work. Like it's mostly analytical work. So I can listen to podcasts like almost all day. And I listen at 1.75 speed. So even talking to you right now, it kind of sounds strange. I'm used to hearing your voice 75% faster than I'm listening than it is right now. So at 1.75 speed, you can consume a lot more.
As a side note, I do that too. And I actually prefer the sound of my voice in 1.75 speed. Like there's just something about it that when I hear my own voice speaking at regular speed, it's like, it just sounds like a, you know, underwater. Yeah. So apologies for anyone who, I guess if you're listening, you probably don't feel the same way, but I feel that way. Yeah, anyway,
somebody in the space says that we need more Bitcoin podcasts. And I really do believe that. Like we need Bitcoin podcasts that cover different things all the time. So my personal favorites, the top of the list is the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast, Joey and Len. That's where I heard you for the first time. You were a guest on that show. Those guys are, you know, A+ guys. I listen in on every Monday. I'm in the chat. And I will be doing some guest hosting on that show coming up soon in the next couple of weeks. So that one got to be at the top of my list. I also really like Rock Paper Bitcoin. It's a little bit of a niche podcast where they go into a little bit of the deeper aspects of Bitcoin. I would not recommend that one necessarily for a newcomer. It's more for someone who's kind of been in it for a little while. Yours is up to, as far as newcomers, yours has got to be among the best, if not the best for someone who's new. Episode 50 that you did by yourself, where you kind of laid it all out there. A summary of the first year of your podcast, to me, is one of the absolute best podcasts you can share to somebody who's new to Bitcoin. Yours is great. There are Bitcoin mining podcasts that I like. There's one that if you haven't listened to, it's called The Bugle. It's a comedy podcast on Bitcoin. There's so many good ones. Some of the more popular ones, if you look on the charts, are ones that I would say are a little bit too difficult for a newcomer. You know, they're great. Like Marty Bent and Matt Odell do TFTC, Rabbit Hole Recap, even Saifedean's podcast. He's a Saifedean Amous, the author of the Bitcoin Standard. He does a podcast. Preston Pish does a very popular podcast. These are fantastic podcasts, but for somebody who's new to the space and are just Googling Bitcoin podcast, that one comes up and it might be a little bit intimidating for you. If you're new.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and that was the, how was the premise of why I wanted to do this one? Just because, you know, it is really tricky. You know, people have general, like, financial literacy isn't great anyways. And trying to, like, jump into a moving train of people talking about macroeconomics and the history of money and all of this stuff is like, it can be super daunting, and all of the technology stuff. So, yeah, I had this idea of, you know, would be great to hear these people who know so much about this stuff talking just in the one gear down, in a way that is maybe we can still hear all these minds, but not have it be something that like you need a PhD in Bitcoin to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a little bit unfortunate because the ones that show up at the top of the list are the ones that have been around the longest. They're the ones that have been downloaded the most. And because they've been around the longest, they're the guys that understand the space really, really well. So the topics of their podcast will tend to be a little bit more, you know, graduate level compared to undergraduate level.
Yeah, you know, I'm the same. The great Bitcoin content is really made for Bitcoiners. And this is kind of like a tricky chicken and the egg problem. So I guess for maybe a point for this would be, if you've been listening to our show and you think you might be ready for something a little bit more of a deeper dive, yeah, I would totally agree with you, Marty, Ben. I'm a huge fan of TFTC and Safe, obviously, as well. Yeah, Safe's book was the second book that I read. The Bitcoin Standard is kind of a book that now I kind of give often because the Bitcoin Standard is kind of the gold standard, I think, of Bitcoin summaries.
I think for people that are just getting into it, or maybe they've been studying Bitcoin, listening to Bitcoin podcasts for a few months, maybe they listen to yours, go through the guest list and just Google the guest that you like and see what other podcasts they've been on, and kind of go down that rabbit hole a little bit is a good way of doing it. Because as you know, there's so many ways that Bitcoin is kind of like that elephant, you know, that famous picture where the people are blindfolded and they're touching the elephant and they're just touching different parts of the elephant. And for each person, it's a completely different thing. Well, Bitcoin is really like that. And it is good to get a well-rounded idea of what this thing is. I think that's great. But as people, we're going to gravitate to certain things. We're just going to have more interest in certain things. Like, I'm not incredibly knowledgeable on the technical side of Bitcoin. It's not something that interests me that much. I'm much more interested on the energy side, or on the financial side, or even on the spiritual side and the philosophy side and the health side. Those things interest me a lot more than something like Citadel Dispatch, which is, you know, a very technical podcast. And it's a great podcast, a great host. It's not one that it's not usually a go-to for me, because it's just not the part of the elephant that I'm really interested in.
Who are some of your favorite guests? Like, if you're just listening around, if you were like, I want to listen to X person, or I've seen X person appeared on this show, who are like one or two guests that would be like, you'll listen to them regardless of what the show is?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is a guest that you had this week on your episode that was released this week is Bob Burnett. If I see Bob on a podcast, it's automatically going to the top of my queue. Like, I would say number one, Bob for sure. You've had Peruvian Bull on as well. I think Peruvian Bull is fantastic. That one is a little bit more, maybe you got to be a little bit more graduate level on the finance economic side.
Yeah, he's a very bright guy. I like a lot of the people in the space. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you like Lynn Alden, I think Lynn Alden is kind of someone that most of the people in the Bitcoin space have heard quite a bit. You know, she's been around for a little while. She's done quite a few podcasts. I think Peruvian Bull is similar to Lynn Alden, and in that way, he's up there as one of my favorites. Yeah, those are the two that come to mind. What about you? What are some of yours?
Yeah, when I think back to when I was really getting into this, you know, people who were in the sort of like earlier episodes of the show are a good indication of the list of people that I was really excited about trying to have on. So I was, when I was getting into Bitcoin, I came at it from this sort of finance background. So I was more interested in kind of the numbers type discussion, and that kind of trio of Greg Foss, James Lavish, and Lawrence Lepard, and Peruvian Bull I would put in there too. Those four people really helped me understand the monetary side of what's going on. Currency debasement, debt spiral. You know, why is the Bitcoin price going to go up forever? So yeah, so those people. I have my own, we are both Jeff Booth guys. Yeah. So I love that. I love thinkers in those vein for sure. And one of my personal favorites is Michael Dunworth, who is our only two-time guest of the show. And I'm an out there person. So I like people who well, as if I'm going to listen to a pod, I want to either, you know, have somebody like really say something that's going to stop and give me pause to think. And Bob Burnett does that too, and or is going to make you laugh. And Mike kind of does both of those for me. So
yeah, Mike and Peter are awesome. Like his brother Peter is also fantastic. I recently re-listened to the original Sailor series from Robert Breedlove's podcast. That one was one of the first podcast series that really kind of opened my eyes and having listened to it again, I think it's the third time now I've listened to this series. Like I'm getting more and more out of it every time I listen to it.
Yeah, that Michael Saylor series on the Breedlove Show was just so well done. And I should have said, I guess we're talking about people who are on my show. And obviously, we haven't had Saylor on yet. Saylor, if you're listening, you are welcome anytime. I'd love to chat to Saylor at some point in the future. There's a very short list of my private wish list of guests that haven't been on the show yet, and Mr. Saylor is definitely at the top of that one. But I do enjoy listening to him a lot, and love the metaphors. I love the he's a student of history, which is kind of that's what my background is, and one of the most compelling thinkers of our time. I really think that Michael Saylor will be remembered as kind of this, like, you know, Carnegie, Rockefeller, you know, Hugo Steen of the 21st century.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that if you see how many views his podcasts get, I would say that they're the most, right? Like if, for example, Preston Pysh has Saylor on, I'm sure it gets more views than almost any other guest.
Yeah, I mean, and this is one of the challenges with Bitcoin podcasts is there are a lot of people that are, I think, more interested, which is great. The guests have a lot to do, I see, with the number of people who tune in.
But there's signal to be gleaned everywhere. It's not just from the big names, right?
Yeah, and even for our show, you know, we sort of like intentionally pivoted away from that, and I am trying to, like, I think it is really about having signal conversations rather than the name on the conversation.
Yes, and I've really appreciated you having on like some of the really young guys in the space that are really, really smart. Like you had Cole Wembley, and then you had Mitchell on recently as well too. Like I think those are the guys, like these are kind of like the next generation of influencers in the space. It's great. I mean, your friend Seb Bunny, I would put at the top of that list as well too.
Yeah. Yeah. Seb's a very special thinker for sure. And a huge fan. We're lucky to have him on our team. So what's happening in the next Bitcoin meetup in Ottawa?
We just had the BitDevs one. So the BitDev one was it just happened on Monday. So we have a beginners one in 2 weeks. So it'll just be at a bar. We go to the same bar we've been going to for a little while. See who shows up. It might not be bull market. So we're probably going to get a few more newcomers. Every time the price spikes, we tend to get 3 or 4 extra people, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think we are headed into a time where Bitcoin price is going to start surprising a lot of people. There was an announcement at the end of October, it was last week as we're recording this, where MicroStrategy is intending to purchase $42 billion of Bitcoin over the next 3 years, which they're going to have to buy it from someone.
Have you done a MicroStrategy show yet? Have you had like one of those people that are really deep in the MicroStrategy rabbit hole?
We are actively recruiting for, it's a super interesting topic, and there are some people who know it really well. I just haven't been able to connect to a guest yet who can come on and do a great job with it. Coming soon, hopefully. Well, Corey, this has been great, man. I really appreciate your support of the show and the work you're doing with your own local meetup and helping others think the same way. So thank you so much for coming on. You are on Twitter. If someone wants to find you, we'll include the links. But is there anywhere else that we can steer them for you?
Twitter is a great place to go. I'm on Nostr as well, too. But I think you can find that through my Twitter. Capital Bitcoiners is another. It's the meetup account. Yeah. And honestly, Scott, like I'm just honored to be here. Your book is great. Your podcast is great. And I just wanted to be able to, it was great to meet you in person earlier this summer, and keep doing what you're doing. You're like, we need more people putting out content, the type of content that you're putting out. And I just want to thank you on behalf of everyone.
Appreciate that, Corey. And I think, you know, this is what Bitcoin is all about, right? It is about putting faces to names and build a community. And, yeah, there's lots of different ways people can do that. So thank you again. And if you're listening to the show and you made it all the way to the end, I want to thank you for tuning in and hope to see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Block Reward. We're trying to do something different here, creating accessible conversations meant for people who aren't obsessed with Bitcoin. If you found this episode informative and engaging, hit that subscribe button to make sure you stay updated with future episodes. Your feedback matters. we'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to share your reviews and help us with our goal of creating Bitcoin content that is simple and easy to understand. Bitcoin has an important role to play in the future of finance. It will change the way we save, spend, and invest. Discover why Bitcoin offers a game-changing opportunity for forward-thinking employers by visiting blockrewards.ca. Block Rewards' mission is helping Canadian employers implement strategies for integrating Bitcoin into compensation and benefits. Supercharge your recruitment and retention strategies and help your team members plan for the rising cost of living by rewarding their work with the hardest money ever invented. Special thanks to our top sponsor, Paramount Employee Benefits Consulting, Canada's only Bitcoin-forward benefits and pension advisory. For more information, find them at paramountbenefits.ca. Big shout out to Podigy, our production team that makes all this possible, and VMX Escape for producing our music. Bitcoin is an expansive and dense topic many people walk away from early. To Bitcoin enthusiasts looking for that podcast they can share with friends, family, and colleagues, one they'll actually listen to, we hope that is us. The content of these conversations is meant to be provided for information purposes only. Nothing here is investment advice. Bitcoin is a big topic. Be sure to do your own research before making any personal financial decisions. Thanks for listening.